Welcome to the 52nd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida, and this is the 52nd episode, which means I've done this every week for 1 year. So happy birthday to the podcast. I'm happy to be here. I finished my iron distance race in Wilmington, North Carolina, which was called the Beach to Battleship Race. We drove up on a Thursday, spent all day Friday getting ready for it, and raced on Saturday and drove home on Sunday. So talk about 12-hour days. It was pretty much what we did. As far as any endurance athletes out there, the bike, the swim course was an inland swim. It started on a beach, which was an inland beach, but it was salt water. The current was going with us. To some degree, it was choppy. A little cool on race morning at about 50, 52 degrees. The water temperature was nice, though, at 73 degrees. I had the best swim of my life and came out of the water first in my age group. And that was the highlight of the day. after that, my head got ahead of my body as far as trying to do more than I was probably capable of. We started out on the bike course, and there was a tremendous headwind, which I didn't take into account either exertionally or nutritionally. So at about 40 miles into the race, I started to feel it pretty good. And was contemplating getting off the bike and laying down in one of the peanut fields we were riding by, but managed to self-talk my way to the halfway point and got off and got a little nutrition, walked a little bit, and got back on and felt pretty good to about mile 80. And from mile 80 to about 112, I kind of counted the miles down. Tried to maintain a pace that would not put me too awful far behind of the goal that I envisioned, but I kept making compromises on that time. But I was able to get in under 7 hours for the bike ride, I think at like 6:45. So that was better than I anticipated. At mile 40, I wasn't sure how long it was going to take me to get around that bike course. I started out in the run, and you know, when you have a bike like that, the run's not very fast, but I was so happy to be running that when I saw mile one, it's like, oh, geez, not too bad. Only 25 more of these to do. I think I can do it. The run went through town, which was crowded with bars and people and a lot of cheering and spectators. And then pretty quickly, you got out by yourself and ran out to a park and ran around the park. The YMCA volunteers there were fantastic, though. There was a bunch of kids. The aid stations were well-manned, and everybody was really encouraging. I can't say enough about the friendliness of the people in Wilmington, North Carolina. It made the race, you know, a great race in my book just because of the people there that helped and volunteered. So hats off to the Beach to Battleship crew for putting on such a great race and having such great people in your town. But managed to go around the run steady, more of the turtle than the rabbit, but finished with a smile on my face and feeling pretty good. So two races down on this trifecta, and I have the Marine Corps Marathon this Sunday. So we'll see how that goes. My quads are a little bit sore yet, but not bad. Went for a walk this morning with Samantha, the German Shepherd, and actually felt good walking. So I think I might try to take a little swim tomorrow and loosen up one more day before taking a run on Thursday. And then we'll fly out on Friday and see how she goes. But the Marine Corps Marathon, if you haven't done that, it's a fantastic course. It is supported. It's called the People's Race, and it's supported by the Marines. And they do a wonderful job. And you go by the memorials, and then you end up at the Iwo Jima Memorial. And so it's a very, very special race. So I look forward to that. In podcast land, I promised that I would talk a little bit more about the International Plant-Based Nutrition Healthcare Conference that I attended in Anaheim, California. There were You know, it was just heavy hitters with the leading people in the plant-based nutrition movement. And I was very, very happy to be there. It was like, again, a kid in a candy store, I guess maybe a kid in a kale store, to be there and hear these people speak. And some of what was spoken wasn't entirely new information, but, you know, it's like hearing, you know, a famous band play their song. It makes it all the more special. But there was new information, and there was additional information that made it that much more special, and it made my eyes that much more open, and it made me somewhat angry that this movement is as small as it is, even though there were probably 700 attendees there, all fit, eager to spread the plant-based nutrition word. When you walk outside the doors, it quickly faded. Kim Williams, who is the president of the American College of Cardiology, gave the opening talk. You know, he's vegan he's plant-based because of one of his patients. You know, as a doctor, he had an LDL of 170, which is incredible. Unfortunately, you know, Kim Williams is in a very political position as the president of the American College of Cardiology. I couldn't do his job. I'm not capable of being that politically correct. I'm not capable of putting my head in the sand. But, you know, their sponsors, you know, the American College of Cardiology is sponsored by so many pharmaceutical industries. And their collaboration with the American diabetes industry sponsors, you know, go on and on with pharmaceutical industries. You know, Go Red for Women is sponsored by pharmaceutical industries. And one thing that kept coming up intermittently was, you know, in order to get plant-based whole foods, no added oil nutrition as the guidelines, there needs to be large randomized trials. But it's never going to happen because the pharmaceutical industries are not going to sponsor a large randomized trial. They can't win. And the people writing the guidelines are sponsored by pharmaceutical industry, and they're not going to put that in there. So it's very, very sad that this miraculous cure for lifestyle diseases such as high blood pressure and high cholesterol, coronary artery disease, strokes, breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, has to be swept under the table or mooted in the corner because it's not rich and famous like the pharmaceutical industries. It's very, very sad. But I'll try to keep this on a positive note. I want to maybe go through each of the talks just a little bit and give some highlights. I had never heard Dr. Ornish, Dean Ornish, speak, and I have to preface that when I first was vegan and, you know, knew it helped people with cardiovascular disease, I recommend his book to my patients, but I never thought that, you know, people would actually follow it. But the reality of it is, in his studies, he has about an 85% adherence rate. So that's, you know, that's a fantastic rate for people to adhere. It's much better than, you know, a lot of drug companies, 85 to 90%. And mainly because they feel better quicker. So, you know, that's something to be said. So if you, you know, are a physician or a healthcare provider and you think people won't follow it, it's possible. And he talks about that a little bit with basically how you present the information and how you present suggesting the change. Dr. Ornish is unique in that his program not only follows a whole foods plant-based diet, but he also stresses activity and social engagement and physical and connectedness with other people. And basically, he describes it. You need to have love in your life with people, family, friends. But you need to love in order to live. And that's a unique philosophy with his approach. And he presented a lot of data to support it. He described the current treatment of disease as mopping a floor while the sink is still running. In other words, we're just mopping up symptoms while the disease keeps coming. So if you look at especially cardiovascular disease, 91% reduction in chest pain symptoms. This was published way back as far as 1990 with cardiac PET scans in the Journal of American College of Medicine or American Medical Association. 40% reduction in LDL, which is the bad cholesterol, without any medication, and a 300 increase in the blood flow to the heart by PET scanning. So that's more than any drug can do. And he also showed this over a wide variety of ages. So you're never too old to change. You know, I have people in my office a lot of times in the 80s and 90s, and there's always a discussion with my nurse. Well, they made it to 80s or they made it to 85. So when you get that old, you should be able to do what you want to do. Well, I think that's true. People can do what they want at any age, but you know, they have to be aware that maybe they could do more or feel better doing what they're doing if they were healthier. So just being 85 and living to that age does not necessarily mean that they're out, you know, gardening, golfing, and doing what they want without pain. So everybody has a chance to improve. You know, anytime you're 5 pounds lighter, if you're overweight, especially elderly, it's going to help. He showed reversal of coronary disease with heart catheterization. Not complete reversal, but increased diameter of the vessel as little as 5 weeks. He also did a prostate study, which published in the Journal of Urology in 2005. The prostate tumor growth was inhibited by 70%, and that was documented with MRI scanning. That's unheard of compared to other, you know, the standard of care is either radiation or chemotherapy or hormonal therapy or surgical resection, all of which have tremendous side effects. So this is inhibition of the growth of 70% without any side effects. I mean, you know, who wouldn't take that over getting, you know, your a radical surgical procedure? But I don't think it's presented to people very often. So, you know, again, spread the word. If you have friends, family that have prostate cancer, you know, have them seek the information and look up the studies. Ask their doctor about this. As far as the aging process, he described the telomere change, and those are basically the tips of the DNA. And they did a great study with women who were taking care of either husbands or fathers with dementia, and they perceived, in their perceived measure of stress. Obviously, it would be stressful in any situation, but based on what their perception of how the stress was very much associated with the length of the telomeres. So if the telomeres decreased, then that was an increased risk of aging and dementia. But if people did things like meditation or exercise or walking or had a healthy way of dealing with stress, they could actually increase their telomeres after 5 years of study. The other thing it looked at as the tumor blood supply. In order for a tumor to grow, just like a plant to grow, it needs roots, and those roots in the tumor are blood vessels, and it's called angiogenesis. And platelet factor 4 and veg factor production increase the tumor blood vessel supply. If by eating a plant-based diet, this is reduced. Diabetes the same way, better than, you know, lifestyle changes have been shown over and over to do better than drugs with all their side effects. You know, the most basic, every diabetic drug out there has side effects. You know, from the early glipizide trials way back in the 80s and 90s, those people did worse. You know, metformin has, every one of these drugs, metformin has side effects. Insulin stimulates hunger, which causes, you know, increased weight, which causes poor, much worse glucose control. So it just goes on and on. But there's no side effects of a whole food plant-based diet. So, you know, I mean, again, it's just again and again, it's pounded home that this is such a great opportunity to reverse lifestyle disease without side effects. You know, he talked about even walking 30 minutes a day increases neurogenesis, which basically the elasticity and increase your brain cells. There was 38% cognitive decline in people over 65 who just walked 30 minutes a day, 60% less Alzheimer's. So, you know, simple things that you can do without side effects, but they're so hidden and nobody takes the time to talk to people. He talked about, you know, how do we go about presenting to people the idea of changing to a whole foods plant-based diet? And it's obviously something that you've heard me say I struggle with on a daily basis. Today I heard three separate times that two doctors said I was tough. One lady was afraid I'd fire her because she hadn't lowered her cholesterol as much as she had hoped on her blood work. Of course I didn't. She was trying and she actually had made great strides. Her triglycerides went from 364 to 166 in a couple of months, and her cholesterol had gone down 20 points. So she was obviously making great strides without any family support. So, and without any education other than some books she read over the summer. So, you know, she was making good strides and I supported her. But, you know, Dean Ornish talks about the language is important. It's very rare that we're going to shame or guilt somebody into change, and humiliating them is not going to really work. And you have to get an idea of how much are you willing to change and maybe set some goals for incremental change, if not all at once. But people also need to know that the more you change, the better you get, including that 90% of heart attacks are preventable. 80% of people can avoid bypass surgery with lifestyle changes, a whole foods plant-based diet. There was even an insurance company study that showed 400% reduction in claims with dietary change after a 12-week follow-up. So again, you know, he promoted exercise, but, you know, doesn't have to be an Ironman. It can be 30 minutes of walking a day. Stress reduction, connecting with family, family meals, family support, meditation. Very good. You know, having a hobby. I listened to a podcast with a man that his son had died of cancer, and, you know, the grief that he went through. You know, there's, you know, obviously we all agree that there's no worse thing than a child dying for a parent. But talked about the need while going through cancer treatment of having an outlet. You know, he rode his bike every day, or, you know, people run. You have to take care of yourself in order to help other people, and you have to be able to emotionally deal with stress appropriately for yourself to be able to help other people. So in his programs, and you can go on it's ornish.com. They have 18-hour sessions with diet, exercise, and meditation, which are supervised. So it's, you know, you might check that out, especially if you live in California. He even did, it's amazing, he came to West Virginia, and they actually, at West Virginia University, did a program and showed reduction in cardiovascular disease. Again, it never caught on. I don't know why. You know, it takes effort. And I don't know why we don't want to give the effort, because it's so gratifying. Looking again, you know, 4 times increased risk of death after a heart attack if people are depressed. If you're depressed, your immunity is decreased. If you hang out with people that are obese, you're 45% likely to be obese. If you have a support group and have breast cancer, your survival improves. So, you know, I think, again, support, meditation, exercise, whole foods, plant-based diet. I can't say how, you know, he was such a kind, sincere man and gave such a great talk. If you have a chance to listen to Dr. Ornish give a talk, or even listen to some of his TED Talks, check them out. Another guy, the next guy up that day was T. Colin Campbell. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. You know, here's this 82-year-old guy that just jumped up on the stage and went at it and talked about the China study. And he was open this talk about the lack of support from Cornell, given the you know, the ties with pharmaceutical industry and industry in general, dairy industry, with his study, and you know, he's by standing up and doing what he believes in, it has not been easy for him. So, you know, on top of everything that he's done, that respect has grown even more that I have for him, just by, you know, do the right thing. My mom used to tell my daughter when she leaves for school and to do the right thing. I think maybe a lot of physicians should hear that when they leave for work in the morning, do the right thing. But again, Dr. Ornish presented his data, you know, about protein, that increased animal protein increases disease, and casein is probably the most carcinogenic substance that you can be exposed to. And that, you know, we only need 4 to 6% protein, and you know, the RDA came up with, or the Dietetic Association, 2 standard deviations above, and that's why we came up with you know, the 10% rule and 12% rule. Plants, ironically, contain the exact amount of protein that the body needs, you know, 4 to 6%. So they're perfect for the body. Higher protein in animal products, you know, increase insulin growth hormone, again, are associated with increased disease. And the more animal protein you eat, the more other foods and other plant foods that you don't eat. And, you know, when I interviewed Dr. Campbell before, I interviewed his wife, and you know, they talked about, they basically just crowded out animal protein when they first went plant-based, you know, just more and more vegetables. So there was less and less room for meat. And finally that just went away. And so that's a good way to go. Just really increase your vegetable consumption and get rid of the oils. And slowly you won't have room for the meat and the animal products on your plate. A new speaker for me was Scott Stoll. He is an MD, and he was on the American bobsled team, and he is still the team physician at Lehigh University, and is chairman of the Physical Medicine Rehabilitation Coordination of Health, and he is the co-founder of the Plant-Based Nutrition Health Fair Conference. He is author of many articles, including Alive, the Physician's Biblical and Scientific Guide to Nutrition. You know, he is a very dynamic speaker as well. He you know, presented data on the vertebral bodies, which was new to me when I started into this. I never thought of the spinal arteries being smaller than the coronary arteries. And the spinal arteries supply the vertebral bodies, which are the building blocks of our spine. And basically 70% of patients' back pain is associated with spinal artery occlusion. Rotator cuff, which we see so much of today, are basically associated with cardiovascular disease. So people that have rotator cuff surgery often have significant coronary artery disease. You know, he also looked at endothelial cell dysfunction and eye disease, and basically there could be reversal of vision changes and diabetic eye disease with a plant-based diet. These are called cotton wool spots. He also talked about, you know, reversing disease with endothelial function with a whole food plant-based diet. So his talk was very, very, very informative. Another very, very interesting talk was Dr. William Lee. and he is the president and medical director and co-founder of the Angiogenesis Foundation. And they basically talked about blood vessels and blood vessel growth out of balance. So arthritis is uncontrolled blood vessel growth in a joint. Alzheimer's, out of blood vessel disease, maybe not enough blood flow. Cancer, too much blood flow. Macular degeneration, leaky blood vessels, diseased blood vessels, and cancers, again, the blood vessels growing. And interestingly, you know, one of the great things that he talked about was, first of all, soy. You know, the big controversy, oh, well, you know, I don't want to eat too much soy, but soy is an anti-angiogenesis product because it releases the genistein. So it's potent as pharmaceutical agents as far as decreasing blood vessel growth into tumors, which is very important with regards to breast cancer. They've also done a lot of research with how food compared to pharmaceuticals as far as decreasing blood vessel growth to tumors. And, you know, tomatoes, the leucopene out of cooked tomatoes, the more you, and they compared raw tomatoes to slightly cooked tomatoes to simmering tomatoes. And by cooking, by simmering the tomatoes, you release more lycopene into a trans form, which actually causes more more benefit. They looked at different types of tomatoes. Some tomatoes are better than others as far as their leucopene or their lycopene production. And lycopene also decreases the risk of stroke. There's also acids in strawberries, and different strawberries have different ellagic acids that are beneficial. You know, different apples, Granny Smith are really good apples as far as anti-angiogenesis. They looked at different wines, Petit Verdot, Cab Franc, Cab Sauv. You know, so different wines have different amounts of resveratrol that are improved. They also looked at what part of a vegetable is the most benefit. So, for instance, broccoli, the stalks versus the tops. And the stalks had 50% of the potency of a cancer drug versus 20% of the florets. Same way with carrots, the stalks, the green stalks are more potent, 50% that of a cancer drug versus the actual orange part, which is about 20%. So very, 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 very interesting as far as the research that's going on with regards to food and its anti-cancer properties. Corey Howard is a physician and a gastroenterologist that talked a lot about the gut microbe, and fascinating. You know, I think that's a new and upcoming topic and benefit of a whole food plant-based diet, and it's also the new source of a lot of disease in a standard American diet. And, you know, talked about the 21,000 genes in a human, but there are 9 million genes in our gut bacteria, so they really have control of our health. And by having good gut bacteria, you know, you can have a lot better health versus bad gut bacteria can really cause a lot of disease. And so he brought up, you know, the ability to eat fermented vegetables as a means to increase your health. And I actually purchased a book that he recommended. I'll put it in the show notes. On fermentation, and you know, he talked about he makes his own pickles, which is, you know, pretty cute. So you know, so something as simple as eating pickles can actually help you. So increase your greens, increase your pickles, take a walk. You know, those are really simple things that you could do to help yourself. You know, and it's just amazing that it's not out there. the last speaker of the first night of the, or the first day of the conference, was a psychiatrist named Brooke Goldner, and I'm definitely going to have her on the show, and I don't want to give too much away, but basically she basically nourished herself through plant-based nutrition to a complete lupus recovery, and she's the author of Green Smoothie Recipes to Kickstart Your Health and Healing. And at 16 years old, years of age, she was diagnosed with lupus. And long story short, it wasn't until she started eating green smoothies and largely raw, but and really got herself in shape with exercise, that she was able to reverse her disease and has remained not only symptom-free, but blood test marker-free from lupus after 10 years. And that's amazing. And she presented case study after case study of people that she's helped that had, you know, end-stage lupus that were on the brink of death, dialysis, that just by picking themselves up with some green smoothies, 64 ounces a day, turned their life around. So again, if you have inflammatory conditions, arthritis, lupus, scleroderma, I can't stress enough the importance of a whole food plant-based diet, but the more nutrients you can get in, the better. The next day, you know, featured Dr. Esselstyn, which, you know, he hits it out of the park. Most of you listening probably have heard him speak. You know, I have to get him on the podcast. I've kind of been saving him because he's kind of the icing at the cake. And I, you know, after, you know, an interview with him, there's everybody else, you know, has to kind of get in line. But the funniest thing with Dr. Esselstyn is a dietitian came up to the microphone to ask a question at the end of his talk, and she stated a very difficult question in that people on dialysis and kidney disease oftentimes retain potassium, and potassium is very high in a lot of vegetables that we recommend. And so how does one promote a whole food plant-based diet in the face of high potassium if you're already on dialysis? And so she said, so we should eat some meat. And he said, you should eat some what? And she said, so I should buy some meat. And he's like, what? And then, you know, so basically he's like, of course not. He said, that's your job, is to find the chemical balance so these people can eat a whole food plant-based diet and get the health benefits without eating toxic animal products. So I thought that was, you know, it was a really, really cute interaction, because she kept asking and he kept saying the same thing. So that was really, really interesting. Craig McDougall, who's the son of John McDougall, was there talking about his new practice and increasing nutrition into in nutrition counseling into his practice. And I have to say that of all the people, I met a lot of people during the conference, and there's not a lot of physicians that are actually teaching nutrition courses in their office. Some of the people that gave talks to now have got to the point where they have registered dietitians in their office that do plant-based counseling. You know, Dr. Furman has a nutritionist, a registered dietitian on staff. And, you know, they do their classes in conjunction together. But, you know, there's still a lot of physician education that needs to be done. And, you know, I think that while it's great if you can hire a dietitian that's going to be a whole food plant-based dietitian to teach your nutrition courses, I think there's nothing better than the physician becoming involved. That shows that a physician walks the walk, and that you can understand your patient better and the struggles that patients have in following the plan. I continue to learn every day how to present the data to my patients. I learn every day my shortcomings, whether I, you know, sometimes maybe intimidate people too much or come over the top too much. Or that I'm not reaching them as far as what to actually do. Sometimes I think, you know, if I dumb it down too much, people would get bored. But sometimes it does need to come down to basics. I've had a patient in the last couple of weeks is like, you know, we went on our shopping trip and it's like, well, this is great, but I'm just still not sure what to do, you know, when it's lunchtime and, you know, what do I make? You know, how do you come up with a reflex, you know, so you just go back to your old, I'll have a hamburger. And learning people's and helping people to become more self-aware of what they actually eat. We talked last week about the four-leaf program. I actually gave that survey to my patients or to my class members. And, you know, I had one person that was four-leaf, but most people were one to two-leaf still at four classes. So they're coming along, but it was enlightening to them to see just where they are and where they needed to be. An example that I had this week, and just in as an office patient, you know, I had a gentleman that was significantly overweight with high blood pressure and a lot of diabetes, and he pretty much, you know, touted himself as being whole foods plant-based. And he talked about what he ate. For the first half hour of our discussion, the only thing that I found that he was kind of overindulging with or probably eating more than he realized was, you know, processed oils. And then, you know, finally at the end, you know, I'm scratching my head trying to figure out how, you know, processed oils resulted in this massive amount of being overweight. And, you know, I came right out and said it, you know, so what's the problem? And he's like, well, I don't exercise enough. And it's like, well, you can't get in that much trouble by just being sedentary. And then, you know, he finally, you know, it's like, well, it's McDonald's. I love hamburgers and it's ice cream. But that was completely blocked out of the discussion for the longest amount of time. So I, you know, I think that, you know, being self-aware and discussing this with our patients is paramount to helping them understand, because we just put it on the back burner so much that people don't realize what they're doing. So I think it's, you know, really, really important. I plan to give my class that four-leaf quiz again at the end, and hopefully, you know, they'll up their leaf score. So that's kind of where we are as far as, you know, my class goes. You know, it's Florida in October, and it's becoming our nice time of the year, so I'm trying to get my garden in. My okra is coming to an end. I ate the last okra today. I'm having a little trouble with beans. I may have planted them too early, so I replanted them. I have tomatoes. I have peppers, some sweet potatoes, a few carrots. So I'll keep you informed about how the garden's gone, but that's an exciting thing for me in the future. I want to have a conference here in Port Charlotte, Florida, for a day on plant-based nutrition in the wintertime, so either late January or early February, to have some people in as guest speakers and to you know, highlight local people in plant-based education. So I'll keep you all informed of that. Hope maybe people will come and join me. If you have any questions, please contact me at jamiedelaney at gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney at gmail.com. Check out my website at drdelaney.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, eat plant strong. Give somebody a hug, do a little meditation, go for a walk, get some sunshine, and certainly eat your plants just like they came out of the garden. Good night.